Yo, Thought Warriors. What is up? It is I, Van Lathan.
And it's me, Rachel Lindsay.
Higher learning. You took a half and you're going to do the whole thing. Slow down. Baby.
You didn't go high enough. Do it again.
He only goes high.
Do it again. No, do it again.
But sometimes it's just baby. But then sometimes it's baby.
Sometimes he goes, okay, baby.
You know what I'm saying? Where these niggas be at? I'm so excited right now. I could ask you how your weekend was, but shouldn't I just say, wasn't it a magical weekend?
It was fantastic. And I would like to know what you did. Because I feel like people did a variety of things to celebrate this magical weekend.
I was just saying Drake. You know what I'm saying?
Surely that's not all you did.
When they were doing all this and all that. I'm not gonna relax. Anyway. I'm all jazzed up right now. Saturday morning, I woke up.
Okay.
And I am walking around, taking my morning walk. It was an eerie morning, Saturday morning, because it had just rained. The air smelled very clean. You know what I mean? Rain in LA is like almost a religious experience, right? It doesn't happen very often, but, you know. So I'm walking around and Kalika texts me. She goes, CNN just called the race. I'm like, what? She's like, yes. And as soon as she said that, a light drizzle started.
What, Van?
I'm not doing it. I swear.
Like something drizzling from like a, I don't know, you walked underneath something?
No, it was the rain. It was the tickling fingers of Jesus.
Scintillating.
He was saying, my son, I always told you it was going to be okay.
Okay.
And it hit me. And then after that, the opposite of Jesus happened because Tommy Alter called me. So then Tommy calls me. Tommy goes, it's like literally like 9:30 in the morning or something like that. Tommy goes, come over right now. And I'm like, okay. So we go over to Tommy's house. We're watching on TV. Then we go, fuck it. We get in the car. And we start driving all over the city and celebrating with the people on Santa Monica Boulevard.
Oh, so you went to WeHo.
I did.
Tell me what it was like, because I stayed away from it.
I'm going to be honest with you. It was one of the best experiences of my life.
Oh, man, I missed it.
And we didn't ever get out of the car, but I'll tell you why. There's a difference between knowing you're an American and then feeling like you're one.
Good point.
So we all know that we're Americans. We know that we're sort of we are tethered together. We are joined together by the geography of where we were born, some of the circumstances, but it never really feels like it, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't really feel like it because we're all living our individual lives. We all have different ideas about what this country is and how it should go. But then every once in a while, something happens to where you all feel together. Not all, because there are a lot of people that were upset that the race went the other way. But at least in this community, everyone was so happy. It's like everybody knew the score. You're looking across the street at someone. They look at you. They smile. You know why. Someone across the other lane is honking their horn. You know why. We're all joined. We feel like we've accomplished something. Something has worked. And it was really a once-in-a-lifetime experience. And to be honest with you, even though I felt way more engaged after President Obama was elected, like it was, there's nothing that ever really has come close to that. This was actually even a little bit different because the euphoria, it's like when the fever breaks.
Yeah.
You know, when the fever breaks, obviously, you go, Jesus Christ, the fever was terrible. But there's this euphoric feeling of relief at the moment that you're not in pain anymore.
Yeah.
And that sometimes, sometimes I wonder if I'm addicted to that feeling, the feeling of, damn, I lived through it. I beat it. I overcame it. And that's kind of what Saturday felt like. Now, probably not a lot of reason for me to feel that way. There's so much work to be done. And this is not the dream candidate in any way. But it feels like at the end of Return of the Jedi, it seems like you killed the Emperor in a little bit.
Okay, I don't know anything about that, but I agree with you. For those people who were like, you know what, there's still so much work to be done. I thought, but today is a day to celebrate. Can we at least relish in the moment that is? There's history being made with Kamala Harris. We got Trump out of office. There are things to celebrate. And there's a sense of hope that we haven't felt in a very long time. And especially in this year. Hearing you talk about your experience makes me wish that I had actually gone out. I had to work on Saturday, so I couldn't, but I got the alert on my phone. And then my husband texted me and I came home. I definitely was like, I got to celebrate. I popped a bottle. I turned on the TV and then I quickly turned it off because I was like, I don't want to watch news coverage. I don't want to hear them say what Trump is or isn't doing. I don't want them to talk about Trump supporters. I don't want them to talk about the electoral votes. I just want to take in this moment before I have to get my day started. So I turned off all coverage, didn't want to be a part of any of it. I just wanted to rejoice by myself and my champagne bottle. And that's what I did. McBride Sisters. Have you talked to them? It's really sparkling wine. Not talked to them. Have you ever had their wine?
Is it good?
They're two Black women. They're sisters.
Ooh.
And it is amazing. They're Sauvignon Blanc. McBride Sisters. You can get it at Trader Joe's. It's so good. That was my first time trying their sparkling wine.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
How did you physically feel after their election was finally called for Joe Biden?
You know, I'm like you. When it happened with Obama, we found out that night in the moment. I think I've said this before on the podcast. I was in law school. I was in a room full of other white law students. I left because they weren't having the same reaction as me. And I went down to my room and my roommate was a dental student, Black woman. We hugged each other and we just cried because we felt what was happening in the moment. I didn't have that reaction.
Of course, yeah.
With Biden, I know there are a lot of celebrities who posted crying and emotional. For me, it was more like, it was a sigh of relief. That's how I felt. I felt lighter because I thought, okay, now I know where we're going and now we can focus on how to move forward. We had an answer. So I just more so felt lighter and a sigh of relief.
Right. I understand that completely. You know what's interesting? I didn't have any problem watching the news coverage, and I don't have any problem watching the news coverage even now. And I think there's a reason why. I've been able to do something with President Trump that I wasn't even able to do with my first girlfriend.
And that was?
Move on. I've moved on from Donald Trump. There are still things that Donald Trump is going to be able to do. There is a lot of bullshit. There's a lot of lingo wrangling. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of noise, a lot of distractions, a lot of stuff to happen between now and January 20th. But you know what? He's an ex. I'm not checking the Facebook. I'm not asking other friends around how he looked today. You know what I mean? I have moved on from Donald Trump. All I had to know was that there was something around the corner to look forward to.
Yep.
And I was ready to do that. And by the way, Camelot is not coming to America. It's not. Nope. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris aren't going to deliver utopia to America. But what we have the opportunity to do is to begin some of the work that we realized that we have to do in this last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we can start now. And we couldn't get it done with the guy that was in office. And I underestimated how much Trump was affecting my mental health. Just knowing that he is out of here and that it's imminent has like been a weight off of my shoulders.
Really?
Yes.
Really? I mean, like, you, I know you talked about struggling with sleep and stuff. You felt like after Saturday, you slept better.
Well, I mean, look, the sleep thing is always going to be a deal with me. And the dreams I'm having are weird. I dreamed last night that that I was talking to a rapper that had a lizard arm with like spines and scales on it.
Okay.
And I was kind of afraid that he was going to use the lizard arm, but then at the same, to not to bite, but like it was the arm of a lizard that he was going to freak out because half of his body was like a lizard, even his eye. And we were in a room and I was kind of afraid that he was going to do something with the lizard arm, but he never did it. And then when I left the room, we were on the beach and I was trying to get to this beautiful beach house that was on the beach where me and Kalika were staying. I was trying to get to this beautiful beach house. But every time I was trying to climb up these bars to get to the beach house, a monkey would stop me.
Okay. Van,
I'm being serious. This was a dream.
I don't even know where to start with this. And I have so many questions as well. One, sure. Who was the rapper? Was it Drake? Because you keep singing Drake.
It wasn't Drake. It was like an old school rapper. And he had like a silk shirt on.
But half a silk shirt because the other side.
No. He had the whole shirt on, but only the half of it. One half was a reptile.
Also, it was short sleeve.
So you could see the reptile arm. Yeah.
Did he have a tail?
No tail.
Oh, okay. So there's just so many questions that I have.
No tail.
Okay. And the monkey?
The monkey was a wet monkey. And for some reason, it was true. I'm not even joking. For some reason, I was, when I left wherever the rapper was and was on the beach, I was dragging a boat with me. Like the boat was like a pole, but all of a sudden it could turn into a boat. And I was dragging a boat with me and I never used the boat. So I checked the boat in and was like, I'm just going to go upstairs and go to sleep. But it was beautiful. This beach was beautiful. And there were people, everybody was wet. And there were people around me, right? And I was trying to get up the little thing and there was a monkey there. And the people that were by the monkey, they were white. And I was getting aggravated that they wouldn't, like, take control of their monkey so I could get to sleep. And then as soon as I touched the bars, the scene of the dream switched. And I was on the edge of a cliff with my hands on the cliff doing pull-ups.
Okay. Are all your dreams this vivid?
Yes.
Do you believe dreams mean something?
I believe that I have a mental health disorder. And it presents itself in one of my symptoms is vivid dreams.
No.
And I think that's what's going on.
I have very, very vivid dreams as well. Right. And I'm a person who will wake up and then try to Google what that means. I mean, come on, Joseph. You know, biblical. I feel like dreams mean something, whether it's something, I don't know if you watched a movie with a monkey or a lizard, or maybe you really want a pet lizard. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but you should look it up because dreams mean something.
Yeah, I don't want to, because see, as soon as I look it up, it's going to be something whack. And then that's just another thing to worry about. You know what I mean? It's going to be
have a segment where we interpret your dreams.
I'm telling you, they're all, by the way, they've all been weird. I told the acupuncturist this. Because you know what the craziest thing is? The acupuncturist asked me. Because the acupuncturist was crazy. She looks at my tongue and she goes, show me your tongue. And I'm like, I show her my tongue and she goes, oh.
Okay, and he's writing something down.
Then she starts writing stuff down. I'm like, what does my tongue say? She goes, I shit you not. She goes, how have your dreams been recently? And I'm like, that has something to do with my tongue? She's like, yeah, you're stressed out. And I can see it on your tongue by the way your tongue is presenting. Like, I've been seeing that a lot lately just because of everything everyone's going through. Are you having super vivid and really layered dreams? And I'm like, you got to tell me how you knew that from looking at my tongue. And she goes, oh, it's all right here. I'm going to show you. Like, and she was talking to me about Eastern medicine. But she knew it. She could look at my tongue and tell my dreams were fucked up.
How many times have you been to her?
It's the first time.
Okay. I kind of want to go now. I do.
It was the first time. But yeah, so it was a really transformative weekend. We actually spent the whole day with my friend Tommy Alter. Like, I went to his house, watched some of the stuff, came back. And then later on, we went back to watch President-elect Biden and Kamala Harris speak. I should say Kamala Harris and President-elect Biden speak because she was first, he was second. Then, of course, we stuck around for Dave Chappelle's monologue. Did you watch Dave Chappelle's monologue?
I did.
What'd you
think? I did. I thought he held back a little bit.
Interesting.
I feel like, I mean, with Dave, you just never know what he's gonna do. But I thought it was great. I thought he was great. I mean, I don't really have too much to say about it. He was fantastic. I was happy to hear that he was doing the show because I feel like they announced it last week, but I don't really have much insight on it. What did you think?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
I think, you know, Chappelle always challenges the audience, and he did that, certainly, while he was up there. Challenged the audience on a lot of things. I think there's some people that are going to look at him saying, you know, thank God for COVID and things like that, and think that those things are incredibly inappropriate to say, given the loss of life. But, you know, Chappelle's up there. He's a comedian. He's going to poke fun at things. He's going to look at things from a different lens. And kind of that's his deal. Now, so we do want to talk about a little bit the fact that now Biden and Harris are in the transition phase. They actually, just this morning, kind of took the first action in their transition, which was to name their COVID-19 response team. Now, we haven't had a chance to kind of, you know, we're going to hear more about these doctors and who they are after a while, but it's interesting that they are taking, you know, they're right away, they're going to be, you know, answering some of the nation's questions in terms of how they're going to deal with the coronavirus. When did you see the transition team, the COVID-19, excuse me, response team, the task force?
Was that the picture that where he's sitting at the table and looking up? Yes, I did.
Well, it just struck me one thing that they're all doctors.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's a doctor. You don't have the former head of this. You don't have Mike Pence. You don't have any voices in there to dilute the medical expertise coming from the
right.
People. They all seem to be doctors. So that's a very, very good sign for me. There's more sort of news in the COVID-19 world that we're going to talk about a little bit later. But I want to ask you, as a Black woman, what does Kamala Harris as vice president mean to you?
I mean, I think that she said it well when she said it in her speech. She might be the first, but she's definitely not going to be the last. And, you know, we talked about Black women a lot on this podcast, and we talked about them being, you know, overlooked and underappreciated. So to see a Black woman as the vice president, a Black woman who possibly has the power, if things go the way we would like to see them go in the Senate, of being the tiebreaker when it comes to making decisions in the Senate, to see a woman who possibly, if the worst case scenario happens, would have to step into the role as the acting president. I mean, that is huge to see that. And I'm glad that Joe Biden stayed true to his commitment of first saying that he was going to place a woman in that role, but then having a woman of color. To me, that's him recognizing the sign of the times and how it was necessary to do that. And I just think it speaks volumes that she's in that role. And I can't even imagine being a little girl and watching TV and seeing that, because we had nothing like that in our lifetime. Not to see a woman as vice president, not in that high of a role. So for all these little girls who are sitting there and might be watching the TV with their parents or passing by or who know who Kamala Harris is, they have something to aspire to. She gives them hope and she lets them know, yes, you can. So to me, I think that's what's the most beautiful thing is. It means a lot to me as an adult, but I think about what it means for this next generation to know that it's not just a dream. You're seeing it realized now in our country.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, that was the most striking thing when Obama was elected. I remember one of my kids, you know, You're looking at all the, you know, the kids that I mentor and stuff like that. You know what kids want to be. Every once in a while, one of them tells you that they want to be an engineer just because they think that that's what you want to hear. But, you know, but they all want to go play and they want to be athletes and they want to be rappers. And, you know, I remember 2009, like early 2009, I had one of them go, well, you know, how do I become the president? And I was like, what? I was like, yeah, like, how do I become the president? I want to be the president. And I was like, yo, you got to get really good grades. You got to do. And I just remember being floored because in all of my years working with kids, I had never had someone from that particular group say, hey, I want to be president of the United States. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to be when I grow up. But it just changes things. I think that one thing that I've learned between 08 and now is that I don't have the luxury to get enamored with political figures anymore. I understand, like, you know, what everything means. But I put my head in the sand for a lot of the Obama years, which were good years for Americans. Don't get me wrong. But we have to continuously keep our eyes on progress and our eyes on our goals. And it doesn't matter where the politician comes from. We have to continuously make sure that we're holding them accountable for what it was that they said that they were going to do, and maybe some things that they didn't even say that they were going to do, because governing in America is a fluid situation, and so is being an American citizen. So we never know what we're going to need next year. But what we do know is we need people that are going to listen to us when we talk about it. So hopefully they'll do that. I believe that they will. And if, like you said, if they win these two Senate races in Georgia, right now, just to let you guys know how things stand, 48-48 right now with two races in Georgia. Those races are Kelly Loeffler versus Warnock and Perdue versus John Ossoff. So if the Democrats were to win those two races in Georgia, which are in runoffs in January, that would be a 50-50 tie. And then the tiebreaker would be the vote of Kamala Harris. Now, that's not an overwhelming mandate majority in the Senate, but it certainly is a Senate majority if you count the vote of the vice president. That brings me to something I want to talk about.
Okay.
Because there's going to be a massive get out the vote in the next couple of months in Georgia. Do you plan to be active in trying to get out the vote in Georgia to grab those two seats?
Absolutely. How can we not?
Yeah.
It's so important. It's so important because we could have not control, but tie for the Senate.
Yeah. I mean,
split it down the middle.
It's also the difference between gridlock and a functional government, right? So if you want all of these things, and you don't want, because the president does have some power in terms of executive order, but a lot of the longer lasting things that you will want an administration to be able to do, you're going to need votes in the Senate to do it. And there doesn't seem to be very much a region across the aisle that a lot of those Senate Republicans are willing to do. So you will want your majority. So it's going to be a dogfight in the next 10 weeks or whatever. Or the next 8 weeks, whatever it's going to be, for those races down there in Georgia. That brings me to one person who I want to stop in time to recognize. Everybody's talked about it, but I'm going to do it right here, right now. And that is Stacey Abrams.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about a lot of times here in America, what the Black woman means to America, right?
Yes.
We talked about on this, you know, or we've talked about in other places what the Black women meant to this particular election, right? In places like Philadelphia, Detroit. Black men came out, Black men voted as well. But Black women held it down as the largest voting bloc and the most consistent voting bloc in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. In places like Georgia, places like Milwaukee, places like Philadelphia County. I tell you why Stacey Abrams right now, what she did epitomizes what Black women mean to America to me, in my opinion.
Okay.
Stacey Abrams was in a situation. She's been working for the same goal her entire life. And her goal has been the betterment of people.
Mm-hmm.
We had Stacey Abrams on and there was a documentary about her. And so Stacey Abrams not decide to go into politics, not decide to change the lives of the people in her community when she was 25, 30 or 35. Saw Stacey Abrams as a teenager, as a kid.
Yeah.
Making statements and devoting her life to making people's lives better. One, Black women spend their entire lives trying to make people around them, trying to make their lives better.
Yeah.
My mother spent her entire life worried about how I was going to have an amazing life. The women around me in my community, when they saw me walking on the wrong side of the street, spent their time telling me which side of the street to walk on. Miss Linda, my mom's friend, saw me eat a donut off of a piece of a plate that I wasn't supposed to eat. Stop laughing. Stop laughing, Rachel. She saw me eat a donut. This is what Miss Linda did. This is what happened. My mama had made a plate of donuts for Miss Linda and told me to take them over there.
She set you up for failure.
She set me up for failure. She set me up for failure.
Okay.
I get over there And right before I get to Miss Linda's house, I couldn't do it. I popped one of them.
I just see it. I'm visualizing it as you say it.
I popped one of them. I ate one of the donuts. Miss Linda ended up marrying my Uncle Ray. She pulled me to the side. She was like, listen, I got to tell your mama. You know why? I don't want you to be one of these men that can't follow directions. It's going to be very important for you to follow directions. Mm. I love you. But I got to tell your mama I saw you eat that donut because she told me that you wasn't supposed to eat any. She told you you weren't supposed to eat no donut. I got to tell your mama. Always looking out for you. Always looking out for you. Always instructing you. Loving on you. Sacrificing for you. Stacey Abrams started doing that when she was a kid, right? She gets to a point to where it's her turn, to where all of the work that she's made, all of the work that she's done, everything that she's accumulated in her life, all the accolades are supposed to pay off mm-hmm. in reward for her. She's supposed to get a seat at the table that she helped build there in Georgia. She's supposed to be the governor. And what happens if you're a Black woman? America says no.
Mm-hmm.
America says, hey, a less qualified, less competent, less with it, less invested white guy, he's going to get this spot. And how is he going to get it? Because it's easier for him to maneuver things around to get it. He's mm-hmm. not going to outwork you. He's not going to outsmart you. He's not going to... And sometimes that guy is not a white guy when it comes to Black women. Sometimes that guy's a Black guy.
Yeah.
But they never seem... Our sisters never seem to get what they deserve. To get recognized like they need to get deserved.
Yeah.
Like they deserve to get recognized. To get anything that they deserve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. After that happens, do they stop?
Nope.
No. They never do. They never do. Do they go wild out? Do they? No. Stacey Abrams said, hey, I'm in a situation right now to where everyone knows that I was politically assaulted by the other side in an unfair way. Doesn't matter. I'm going to make sure it doesn't happen to the next group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And she got with her organization, Fair Fight. And she turned out people in Georgia. And she worked for it. And she worked for it. And she worked for it. Not for her race anymore.
Yeah.
Her race was over. The selflessness, the tirelessness, and the absolute beauty of purpose of Black women that says, I'm just not going to stand for wrong. And she turned an American election. She snatched a state from the very people who snatched it from her. If you telling me that our country doesn't need more of that, there's nothing more American than that.
Yeah.
If you're telling me our country doesn't need more American, it doesn't need more of that, I'm asking, well, what the fuck do we need then?
Yeah.
So I thought about her all weekend long, mm-hmm. Stacey Abrams.
Yeah. Well, you're not alone in that because it's one of those things where, you know, I think of Beyonce's song, Best Thing I Never Had, mm-hmm. because there are times where you want something so bad and you can't understand why it didn't happen for you. But then there's a bigger purpose behind it. I'm not saying Stacey Abrams wouldn't be doing what she did if she had gotten the governor's seat,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that she didn't get it and then it fueled the fire for her to create what she has created and hasn't stopped almost is even an even bigger purpose for her because she easily could have run again. And mm-hmm. instead she said, you know what? I'm going to, like you said, not what happened to me is not going to happen to the next person.
Wow.
And she's still going. She's raising money for the Georgia Senate right now. She registered, I think it was 800,000 new voters, what she's been able to do. Mm. It is remarkable. And then she didn't just keep it to Georgia. What she does with Fair Fight, it's nationwide what she's doing. And it really, really is beautiful to see. And the key word that you said that really stuck with me and when I think about Stacey Abrams is selfless. Because there are so many other avenues that she could have taken when this seat was taken away from her. She was cheated out of getting the seat. To be the seat. I keep saying that. She was cheated out of becoming governor. It was taken away from her. And she could have done so much, so many other things, but instead she decided to take that and give back. And she hasn't stopped. But I do want to ask you this question though, because I thought about this too. She's done so much for the state of Georgia and just in general when it comes to voter suppression nationwide and registering people to vote. Do you want to see her stay in Georgia, or do you want to see her go into the Biden administration and do work from there?
I want to see her do whatever she wants to do. As far as where she's most useful, you know, I think she has a real affinity for where she's at, and she really wants to serve the community where she's at. Although you never know in terms of, it's a hard question to answer because I don't know what she wants to do.
Yeah.
I do know that I think right now that she could win the governor's mansion. I think that in the future, Stacey Abrams will be the governor of Georgia. And sure. if that is what she wants to do, then, you know, that's something that she definitely still has a track for, if you ask me. So I want Stacey Abrams, and the job's not over. Right now, I want Stacey Abrams to know how much we care about her.
Yeah.
And know how indebted we feel. That's what I want more than anything, and that we'll support her whatever she wants to do.
And I love that she's leaving her mark too, because what her legacy is going to live on because of that documentary that she created as well. The next generation, I'm telling you, they're going to play that in schools. It's going to be a part of courses. That documentary explains so much about the history, not just of voter suppression, but just Black people and their struggle when it comes to fighting for rights in this country. It's amazing. But honestly, Van, as great of things as Stacey Abrams has done and continues to do, she's not the real heroine, is she?
No, she's not. She's not. Not according to Eva Longoria. No. Listen, this is dicey. Okay, this is dicey. Okay. So let me start this off by saying this. When I first got out here to L.A., there was a huge Black versus Brown war that was going on, right?
You said you got here to L.A.?
When I first got here to L.A., there was a big Black versus Brown thing that was going on. I think I talked about this on the podcast before. There was a big Black... Okay, so when I first got to L.A., it was 06, and people were telling me, hey, the Mexican guys out in L.A., they don't fuck with the Black guys out in L.A., so be careful, it's Black versus Brown. I was like, for real? And they were like, yeah. So I devised a way to make sure that I was cool with my essays whenever I would go. Number one, if you saw someone wearing a Kobe jersey, then normally you was cool. He's cool, right? Because if you're fucking with the Kobe and the Lakers and them and stuff like that, he's not going to be ready to knuckle up too much, right? But at the same time, if you saw somebody that had, you know, tattoos all in their face, you might be fucked up. Because the essays really run shit around here. You might be fucked up if you see that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, when I got down here, I was living in Van Nuys. Of course, what did I see? A guy with a Kobe jersey and fucking the tattoos in his face.
you don't know
which way to go. He turned out to be cool as hell. He used to play basketball all the time. He was good in the post. Good basketball player. So in analyzing what Eva Longoria said, I do not in any way want to discount, minimize, or cast aside what Latino women have done for the electorate or period. I don't want to do that at all. I don't. I don't want there to be any division between the two groups of people.
I agree.
Having said that, what the fuck was Eva Longoria thinking?
Okay.
So if you guys don't know, Eva Longoria did an interview where she said, you know, I guess basically what she said was...
But I want to talk about what you just said about the women. The women of color showed up in big ways. Of course, you saw in Georgia what Black women have done, but Latina women were the real heroines here, beating men in turnout in every state and voting for Biden Harris at an average rate close to 3-1.
Hmm. So if you're listening to that, and I was, you automatically think that what she is saying is Black women were out there, but the real heroes were Latina women. I am not a Black woman. You are. How'd you feel when you heard that?
I guess I didn't have the extreme reaction, and this might come as a surprise to you, as the rest of Twitter did and a lot of other people, because look, I think she misspoke. She has since come out and said what she really meant to say. I think a lot of times when you're doing live TV, you say things and you necessarily, it's not what you intended for them to mean. if you look at the work that Eva Longoria has done, she has been a huge advocate for Latinos and really, you know, she has a foundation. She's been involved politically on the nonprofit side, mm-hmm. in the community. So I don't expect for her to be advocating for Black women, right? She's out there advocating for Latinos. She misspoke. Mm-hmm. The problem obviously is the statement of the real heroines are my group of people. So I understand the initial reaction, but when I saw it, I was like, okay, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt. And surely that's not what she means. I think and when I read her explanation, which she pretty much immediately put out after, I believe what she was trying to say. It sounded terrible, I'll agree, but I didn't feel like I needed to like rake her over the coals because of the statement that she said.
Interesting. Could you read for people what she said she meant?
Sure.
Just cause.
My wording was not clear, and I deeply regret that. There is such a history in our community of anti-Blackness in our community, and I would never want to contribute to that. So let me be very clear. Black women have long been the backbone of the Democratic Party, something we have seen played out in this election as well as previous ones. Finally, Black women don't have to do it alone any longer. Latinas, many who identify as Afro-Latina, Indigenous women, AAPI women, and other women of color are standing with them so we can grow our collective voice and power. Together, we are unstoppable. Nothing but love and support for Black women everywhere. You deserve a standing ovation.
Okay. There you have it.
What's go ahead. Talk to me. Talk to me, Van.
Look, I have no issue with Eva Longoria. You know, zero issue. Never had an issue with her. Know a lot of people that know her. I've never met her before. Have no issue with her. Sometimes I get annoyed how it seems like people be coming out the side of their neck.
Yeah.
It just gets annoying after a while. Stop. Like misspeaking about Black women. Don't misspeak about Black women. What's the other little the little girl? She's from Jane the Virgin. Well, you know what that is?
They are two totally different people. Gina Rodriguez.
Gina Rodriguez was in an interview and somebody asked her. Well, wasn't somebody, it was Blogzilla that asked her, or was asking somebody else that was interviewing with Gina Rodriguez about, you know, the representation of young Black women in animation. And Gina Rodriguez jumped in and she said, well, you know, all women. And Blog came back and was like, no, Black women. Look, allyship is not easy. It's difficult. You have to want it. You have to want to do it. And the one thing that you can't do while being an ally is talk about yourself, right? The immigration issue in and of itself is an issue where Black people have to take a back seat to the wants and the needs of the Latino culture, of the Latino culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about different groups of Latinos who are having issues immigrating and who want to talk about a more open immigration policy. We can't go out there and act as if that's something that we know the ins and outs about, because it's not our families that are going through it, right?
Right.
So in a conversation that was about that, you can't turn around and make it about yourself. And the reality is that there's no denying the fact that Black women have made up the loudest and proudest group of people for the Democratic Party. When I say Black women, I mean, I'm not even a part of that. I'm a Black man, and we showed up big time. Don't get me wrong. But
sure.
Black women showed up even more than we did.
Mm-hmm.
So stop yeah-butting them.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying she was even trying to do that, but I'm saying stop, yeah, butting Black women. Give everybody their space. And even the whole thing for me, I get that that's not what she was trying to do, but we do have to acknowledge the fact that that happens to sisters a lot. Yeah, but this is what we're doing over here. Stop, pause, give them their flowers, let them smell them, and then talk your shit. And then we'll do the same on the other side. That's what allyship is.
I get it. But I guess it gets lost when you start throwing in a Gina Rodriguez. She's totally different. Because when I'm looking at, like, I agree that people should have.
I don't know her either, by the way.
I agree that people should have held Eva Longoria accountable to, for what she said, because the correct thing to say was, well, let's also talk about how Latina women came out as well and how we came together collectively. Like, what she said in that statement is what she should have said. But instead, that person who interviewed her said women of color, and she separated women of color by just focusing on her own people. And
well,
that was
what she said. I mean, she said black women, and then she came back and said,
but she separated.
Just the real heroes thing.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was burnt. I was like, what?
It was a separation. She did. She put a wedge in, and that was a problem. And it was a problem that she needed to be held accountable for, which she was. She came out. I'm 100% for that. But I guess I didn't have the strong reaction that a lot of people had. Because I guess I gave her the benefit of the doubt, right? Same way you gave me the benefit of the doubt when you saw a picture of me at a Halloween party. Surely that can't be the whole story. That's what I did with her. I thought, surely she misspoke. Please let her come out and explain what she said. Surely looking at all the work that she does, that to me is in stark contrast for who she represents.
Look, that's what I'll be honest with you. It's all gravy. You know, it's gravy. It's gravy. It's just, so everybody's thing. Sensitivities are a little heightened.
Right? It was disappointing. Especially coming from her.
It's all gravy.
I get it.
It's all gravy. I used to fuck with Desperate Housewives. I used to watch it.
Oh, I rewatched it during quarantine.
Did you?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go that far now. So all gravy. But look, just to let you know, the Protect Black Women thing is real. And there's a lot of people out there, if you start coming for the sisters or talking about what they do or what they don't do or who does it better, then there's going to be a conversation.
And it's about time. I love that everybody gets upset when somebody does something against black women. We love to see it.
Yeah, love to see it. There was only one bad part about my weekend.
And that was?
This continued narrative.
I already know where you're going with
situation between myself and Van Jones of CNN. Now, I want people to understand what happens here. If you type Van in on Twitter or Instagram after Van Jones has done something or said something, my name will pop up a lot of the time. And when people see our logo, which was brought to my attention, they might think that that's a CNN logo because it's red with white writing. I've changed my name on Twitter to not Van Jones.
I like it.
But Van Lathan. And all weekend long, people were taking issue at different things that Van Jones was doing. He cried after the election and people were like, but you worked with him, blah, 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 blah. And after that, of course, on Saturday night, he confused Beyonce with Mary J. Blige, which...
I missed that.
You didn't see that? Wait. You didn't fucking see that?
Why did he confuse the two?
Kamala Harris walked out to a Mary J. Blige song.
Yeah.
He got on TV and said it was a Beyonce song. And people are like, yo. And by the way, I'll be honest with you. Working with Jared Kushner is one thing. But see, little shit like that, that's the little shit that'll make motherfuckers really go, nah, man, he ain't with us.
He's not with us. That's what I said. Mary J and Beyonce? Like, no, I did not hear him say that.
That's the type of shit that'll make people be like, no, he ain't with us. See, that's the thing. People don't understand. People think it's the big things. It's little small shit like that that you don't know.
You don't make those kind of mistakes.
That'll really fuck with people because that makes it seem like you ain't never been on an island listening to Mary J. Blige with your people vibing at night or been in a club. You know what I'm saying? Or you never listened to Not Gonna Cry. You never listened to No More Drama. You didn't grow up on What's the 411. Then people start asking, well, who are you?
Right.
That's the type of shit that really makes people go, who is this guy?
Question. Did he correct himself after he said it? Or did someone at the table who was not black correct him? I need to know. Or was Twitter just correcting him?
He corrected himself after. And even the white
people. After a commercial?
After. Yeah, it took a while. And by the way, he made a big deal of it. He said, yo, let me tell you how big of a deal this was. She was signaling something by walking out to Beyonce. He like made a whole thing about it. Like he made it into like this was a
just
big...
Just loud and wrong.
Loud and wrong. And when he came back and corrected himself, even the white people at the table around him, the Jake Tappers of the world were like, oh, Van. Oh, Van. It was Anderson Cooper. And I'm like, oh, Van. They were getting on him. So that's fine. Van Jones, I've said this before. I have no issue with Van Jones. People think what they want. You know, I've talked to Van Jones, spoke with Van Jones, no issue with Van Jones. But what I do have an issue with is that shit. That is not me. God damn it. And I'm fucking sick of it. I could be walking along, having a great time with my people. I'm sitting down with Tommy. Tommy goes, Van, you're about to get some shit. I'm like, why? He goes, because Van Jones just confused Mary J. Blige with Beyonce. And I'm like, why? I'm going to get some shit. And he's like, because people are about to confuse this shit. It's really whack.
Can I put a positive spin on it?
What?
I think that you, I get it. Maybe your reputation is at stake, right? Maybe a little bit because of some of the things he does. You don't want people thinking you don't know the difference between Beyonce and Mary J. I understand that. But you should look at it more so as when people think of Van, the first person they think of is you more than they think of him.
That's and that's not true. Why,
and that's, I'm trying to help you out. Like you over here, now you're arguing with me.
But I'm, don't. But Van, don't lie. Van, I don't. That's not, you know that's not true.
I'm with you, Van. I'm not against you. I didn't tweet at you.
I know. I know. But that's not the thing. I'm still, by the way, I got a little news for people. I got news. And I hope that you guys really appreciate this news that I have. Hold on for a second. I hope you guys like this. Because I got some news. Do you know what Van Jones' real name is?
What?
Anthony Capel Jones. That's his name. Van is a nickname that he picked up in college. That's the part that fucking turns the knife in my back. The part that turns the knife in my back is my name is not only am I named Van, my daddy named Van. My daddy is named, I'm the second Van. I'm not, confuse me with him. Confuse me with my daddy. That is Van Lathan Sr. Okay? Senior.
You're a junior?
I'm a junior. Van Lathan Jr. My father, black cowboy, born and raised in Meringuen, Louisiana. Former baseball player, Hunter Fisher, Van Lathan. I'm not Van Jones. It's not funny. Arian Foster, a guy who I thought was my friend. Okay? Arian Foster, Desus from Desus and Mero, all of my friends who are coming in. It's not a
game.
You know
what's funny? It's your reaction to it.
Nope.
It's what makes it so much better. If you ignored it, we wouldn't feel any kind of way about it. But your reaction, how upset, thank God you didn't go as Van Jones for Halloween. How upset you get over it. It just, mm-hmm. I want to tweet you. I'm about to start confusing you. I love to see it.
Okay. Just go ahead. I mean, look, to be honest with you, I've laid off of you in the last couple of weeks on the Twitter, on Instagram. If you want to get it cranked off, we could do it.
Maybe because I haven't been posting any ads. I've been posting our content. I've been posting our podcast. That's what I've been doing.
Right. I'm going to be real with you though. I mean, look, here's
just
the thing.
Just wait till tomorrow.
I'm saying the reality is this, you know, Van Jones made a speech to where he said it was actually, he cried and stuff. He was very emotional and it came from the heart. And then there are people that after he does stuff like that, they come out and they go, okay, but you're cool with Jared Kushner and you're cool with President Trump and you're cool with all of these people. That's fine. He's built for that. He can handle that. Him.
You can't?
I can handle it if it has to do with me. I can't handle anybody else's shit. Hey, all kinds of shit I want to talk. Van, you so pro-black, you worked at TMZ for a long time. Let's have the discussion. Fuck it. Let's do it. I'm down with it. Whatever you want to talk about. I want to talk about another nigga shit. I'm serious. Stop with the Van Jones stuff. It's not great. And I'm, by the way, I'm Van. It's Anthony. You know what? Me and Van Jones got to do something. He's Anthony Jones now. Ant Jones.
You should do it on this podcast. You should bring in old Anthony.
Hashtag Anthony Jones. That's the new thing. I want you guys, no disrespect, you guys, Van Jones has done such great work Anthony Jones has done such great work. I need you guys to help me. Help me change his name back to his given name, Anthony Jones. Ant Jones, Anthony. Lil Anthony.
That's so disrespectful. The man's name is Van. That's what he goes by publicly. We on this podcast will call him Anthony.
I'm catching strays.
But y'all call him Van.
Y'all call the hashtag Anthony Jones. Ant Jones. AJ. That's such a nice name.
Stop doing that to that man.
Who wouldn't want to be AJ?
Do you want to be AJ?
Because that's not my real name. If my name was Anthony Jones.
What about VJ? What about VJ?
VJ is completely different than AJ because you know what that sounds like. VJ is completely different. By the way, the VJ thing was a thing. The VJ thing was a thing back in the day. Yeah. Niggas was
It was part of the player-proof crew?
It was VJ.
Was that your name in the player-proof crew?
It wasn't. It was like they would call me VJ as like vagina kind of thing. It was like they try to get at me a little bit. VJ was I don't want to be VJ, you know? Even though there's really nothing wrong with being called a vagina. Nothing's tougher. We haven't had this conversation. Nothing's tougher and more adaptable. Snap right back, you know, adapt to different climates and stuff like
okay.
that.
Okay.
But anyway. yes. Oh, and speaking of that, I do have to address something that happened today. So earlier today, I made a video where I was instructing Trump supporters to take that dick because they lost. Mm-hmm. Did you see this video? I made a video.
No, I did not.
Okay. So the video came out and I was like, I want Trump supporters to go ahead and take that dick. You lost. Take the dick. Take it hard. Take the dick.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people told me that was both homophobic and a little rapey, the take mm-hmm. the dick thing. So I took it down. I took the take the dick thing down. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. In basketball, and I even talked about this, in basketball, when we hooping and in Baton Rouge and I make a shot on you, I dicked you. So mm-hmm. that's what it means. That's why I said, just like Craig Elo had to take the dick, all the Trump supporters said take the dick.
But you get it. But you get it. That's
but
why you
I
took
get
it down.
It. I get it. I get the whole thing. And at first you want to be like, no, I don't have to do what you say. And then you go, why not? It's a fucking Instagram video. You don't go to the mattresses over that.
Right, right.
All right, let's pause real quick, catch our breath from the election and all of that stuff, and take a little break.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear, especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down your local wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Okay, did you see that Pfizer says they have a vaccine that's 90% effective?
Yeah, I saw that. Love that the announcement came after the election was called.
You like that?
We do like it. I mean, listen, I think the hardest thing, it's great that it's 90%, what is it, 90% effective, right?
It's 90% effective. It's a vaccine that you have to take in two doses. It's 90% effective. That's what they say. It hasn't been peer-reviewed
yet. Two doses, and it's a shot, right? It's a shot.
I think so, yeah.
I saw them list like the four things that it has to go through to be like used by the public. But the fourth thing is what stuck out in my mind.
What?
You have to convince people to actually take it. I think that's going to be the hardest thing. I'm not running out to sign up to take the vaccine. I'm going to be very honest with you. And I think a lot of people share that same sentiment. So it's, I'm glad to see it. I think it's progress, and hopefully, you know, we can overcome this pandemic that we're in, but I think they're going to have a hard time trying to get people to take this thing.
I think people are going to take the vaccine. I think there's some no, I'm going to take it eventually.
That's two for two.
I'm going to take it eventually, but
you need to see some people go through it first.
Yeah. But the reality is that, you know, that's kind of how we are in the community. You know, white people will take the vaccine just for a dare. You know what I mean? Just to see what's going to happen. Like, you think niggas like David Blaine not going to take the vaccine? He's going to be the first guy that they'll take the vaccine just for whatever.
Hey, David Blaine. Not everybody is that man.
Anybody who would take a Saturday and go white water rafting for fun when you can drown. You can drown in Colorado just for fun. They'll take a vaccine. So after they take it and they don't grow a third arm, I'll take the vaccine. I expect fully to get vaccinated.
Oh my God. You just said it. That's your dream.
What?
That's the dream right there. You said if anybody doesn't grow a third arm, it's a lizard arm.
It's a lizard
arm. That's the dream. There you go. Shit. Listen, segment here. Let me interpret your dreams. That's it.
That is a good segment with you interpreting my dreams, because that could be true. Because maybe the guy had one lizard arm because he took the vaccine.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why I was iffy about him. Interesting. Interesting. Because these are the things that are in my mind.
Yeah, so maybe I'm telling out you. In my dreams. That was it.
So there are a couple of things about the vaccine that you need to know. Number one, the vaccine has to be refrigerated, which means that because it requires such intense refrigeration, that there might be parts of the world where it's less likely that you're able to get a vaccine, because there are parts of the world that don't have electricity and things like that to be able to get the vaccine. But it looks like a lot of Americans will be able to get it. Another thing that Pfizer did, which you actually have to give the Trump administration some credit for, is that this particular vaccine was stockpiled in advance in case there was some efficacy found to it. So there are going to be a lot of stockpiles of this. Not saying that there's going to be enough to, you know, give 340 million people a vaccine on January 1st, but there should be enough. The challenges in this vaccine are going to be, number one, making sure that it's safe, making sure that it's peer-reviewed, and that these findings from the independent board over there that worked with Pfizer are, in fact, correct. And then, of course, mobilizing the military to get a dose out to everyone as soon as possible. But if, in fact, the vaccine is 90% effective, that goes way further than what you would really need to stop the pandemic. They were expecting a vaccine. You know, I think your flu vaccines are between 40 and 60% effective. So if this vaccine is 90% effective for any amount of time, then that's potentially an end game. So that would be, you know, monumental.
Now, here's my question. Like, the flu has different strands. Does COVID does as well, right?
Yes.
So does this vaccination, is it effective against all strands or just a certain type of strand? I don't know if you know that. But
I don't. And there, I mean, you know, it's mutating. There's a new mink strand. So like the strand that the minks caught over in Europe right now. I don't know how effective it is in terms of that. But I mean, that's all information that we'll know. Even the flu vaccine, they have to change it, you know, pretty regularly to make sure that it's providing people with enough protection. So we'll kind of see how that goes. Ben Carson tested positive for COVID.
It's only a matter of time.
Ben Carson tested positive for COVID. The president his whole administration are absolute dumpster fire in terms of containing this disease. Ben Carson tested positive for COVID. And now the whole situation is fucked. I'm not a fan of Ben Carson, but, you know, I'm not a fan of a lot of people. There's nothing about me that hopes that this man gets gravely ill.
Sure.
So, yeah. Hope that he's okay. All right. We're about to get to the Bachelor recap, but before we get to it, take a little break.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done, because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth, so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Look, I know people are waiting for it.
People were mad about it.
We're mad about what?
What you're about to do next. That it didn't happen last week. Yeah, that it didn't happen last week. They were like, where is it? And I'm sorry, we're in the middle of trying to figure out who the next president of the United States is. Apologies that we didn't get to the Bachelorette recap. But, you know, without further ado, go ahead and proceed.
And before I forget, I do want to say something right before the Bachelorette recap. I want to say rest in peace to King Von, who's a rapper that was shot. I just want to talk to the young brothers real quick that might be watching that. Yo, every time you kill a black man like that, every time you kill a black man, period, you are not just killing him. You are burning down a forest. Gilly said this, and he was right. These young men that come up and make it out of those situations have the opportunity to elevate so many different people along with them in their ascension and change so many different trajectories of life. I remember back in the day, I heard Ludacris rap, and he was talking about how his cousin, how he put him through culinary arts school. I think to myself, what does a cousin do if Ludacris doesn't become one of the biggest rappers? You know, and this situation is no different amongst different communities, but the reality is that we just have less black men to lose. We have less of them to lose. We need more of them to make an impact. So we have to figure out how to get these guys to stop playing with these guns. Dead in front of a hookah lounge in Atlanta over nothing is not the way you want people to go at the age of 26. So very saddened to have heard that. Now, right from that into the Bachelorette recap. I watched this episode of The Bachelor. Two things to Bachelor. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start here. I hate Clarendale.
Wow. These are strong words. This is a big place to start.
I cannot stand Claire and Dale.
I don't think this is fair, but go ahead. You're talking to a Claire defender, so
that's
go
fine.
Ahead.
Defender. That's what you can do. Defender. Okay. I think that the whole thing is rotten. Okay? I think it's rotten. I don't like it. I'm glad that they're in love. But the fact that she was pining for him for months before they got there, no dice, baby. And I'll tell you something else about this whole situation. This whole situation has to do with whether or not you're a Dale or not. See, if you're a Dale, low body fat, tall, wide receiver, gets all the... If you're a Dale in real life, mm-hmm. then you understand the whole Dale thing. But see, if you're not, and you're relying on getting in front of the woman and using your humor, your wit, and your winning personality to win her over, but you can't because she already fell in love with an Instagram picture. You're watching this whole thing and you're living. And I don't know if people know, I'm not a Dale. Never been a Dale before.
Oh, they got it from your rant just now.
Right. I'm not a Dale. I'm the type of guy that had to, we've talked about it before. I'm not going back over it. Took a lot. I had to, almost every woman that I dated in my 20s, I had to have The Bachelorette show play out. I had to go on several different dates. I had to go through all different types of situations and do all of this stuff. And then at the end, after months and months of Dale's coming and going in her life, now I get chose. All right? That's how it had to happen. So I hate it. I can't stand it. Claire, fine, though.
You're a hater, is what you're saying.
I'm not a hater at all. Oh, but I actually don't think it's fair.
You can talk all around it. But
I actually...
You, Well, why? Well, okay. Okay, let's break this.
I don't think it's fair.
Why not? She had her full, she looked at all the men that were announced for her season. Some came that were a surprise to her that she, that weren't announced initially. So she had the chance to look at everybody. She was very into Dell based on what she saw and how he utilized his social media.
Okay.
You can't, that it, it, everybody had their social media out there. Van, this really comes down to some repressed issues that you, that you have from your 20s. And you were hating like on Dell.
I'm not, whoa. By the way, it's not about Claire. It's not about Dell. It's about Claire and Dell. Okay. Claire by herself, I'm sure, very lovely woman. Dell by himself, looks like he'd be the homie. Hit Dell up Saturday morning. Yo, Dell, we running this morning? Yo, Van, come pick me up. We going to hoop. All right? All of that. However, Claire and Dell together, no bueno. Don't like it. Okay? They act like they disrespectful to the fabric of The Bachelor. They act like little kids.
Oh, I hate when people say this.
They act like little kids, okay? They have no, they break all the rules. There's no structure. There's no game. The rest of these guys are looking like a bunch of chumps. Every single one of those guys, they should take their names away. It should be chump number one, chump number two, chump number three, chump number four, okay? The only one that's not a chump is my man Bennett. Bennett is not a chump. Bennett is that motherfucking dude. That's what Bennett is. Bennett is that guy. You know what I'm saying? Bennett come to LA, me and Bennett going to Santa Monica.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
I hate when people say it doesn't follow the structure of the show. Because here's my question to that. Sure. So you'd rather see Claire go through 10 weeks of... where they're not actors and actresses, mm-hmm. faking relationships just because that's the structure of the show? Or would you rather just let her do her thing, find her man, and let's bring somebody else in who is going to follow the show?
Look, interesting question. Good question. The guys, for the guys that are on the show, it's better that they brought somebody else in because Claire, because now they have an actual shot at finding love on a television game show, which is fucking insane. I know that it worked. It's a game show. It's a TV
game
show.
It is insane. It's crazy that Brian and I are married. It doesn't make sense.
Right. So now they have a chance. Now, having said that, to me, the whole thing of her stalking his... I was cool with it.
Wow. Strong words.
I was cool with it. But then she says she's checking his IG every day. She's looking at his IG. She's getting... It's just like... To me, it's not fucking fair. It's supposed to start when they get there. It's supposed to start.
COVID happened.
I know. I just don't like it.
Okay, fair.
And then they also become bumbling idiots when they're in each other's presence. It's become, even when they were making the salad at the end. Hey, it's me, Dale. Ha ha, it's Dale. Ha ha, Rescue Rangers, it's me, Dale. Look, it's me. Check it. What are we doing, Claire? What are we making? And it seemed like she's about to fucking talk about she's making some lasagna or something. We're making a salad, ha ha. You're putting the lettuce in a bowl. You're not that excited about it. I'm just being, you're not that excited about it.
I think that's them. I think you're expecting a lot more, but I really think that's just who they are. I know.
Now, in this particular episode, there were other people who stood out. Canadian Blake.
You've been talking about him.
Canadian Blake is an obvious incel. It's Canadian Blake is, to me... He's on an Eric Trump list of patheticness to me. Canadian Blake is terrible. Okay. Everybody else is actually starting to become cooler to me. The only other guy that I didn't like was, what's the dude with the tattoos? The guy with the tattoos who...
Kenny, the boy band manager.
Who was continuously making her apologize more. The apology scene,
yeah,
when she was up there apologizing, my heart went out to her from there because it seemed like she actually cared about the way the rest of the guys felt. Because remember, Claire, not around Dale, cool person. Claire with Dale, Tina Fey, Mean Girls.
You know, Wow. I find it interesting that you don't like Blake when you too kind of have the same sentiment when it comes to it's not fair. It's not fair. That's what Blake continued to express. Yeah. So did you and your whole thing. I mean, it sounds like you and Blake might really get along.
But here's the difference between me and Blake. I've learned to handle my rejection and tuck it way, way, way deep. You would never even know. If you were Blake, if I was on the show, you'd never know. I promise you, Rachel. If I was on the show, they'd be like, Van, how do you feel about Claire and Dale? I'd be like, you know what I feel? I feel like it's so amazing that love conquers all. I think...
Oh, they'd love you.
That I'm actually lucky to have been this close to a situation to where someone actually found true love. It makes me feel like one day I'm going to look on the other side of my bed and see that queen that I've been waiting for my whole life. So if Dale, if Dale's found that queen and it comes at my expense, I'm happy to have been a part of it. Boom.
And you know what they would say? Congratulations, you're our next bachelor.
That's what I would say.
That like, is bachelor material.
That's what I would say. But now that I don't have to do that, that I'm over on this side of the aisle, it's a bunch of bullshit. And I gotta be honest with you. Even though I knew what was happening, I was kind of hoping that Dale didn't propose to her.
You were so awful. Did you think that he wasn't? By the way, they aired the show.
Yes and no, because I've never seen the show before, so I know. But at the same time, you're like, you don't really know. There could be something crazy, but you see it around town, and like they're together. Also, the whole Tayshia thing. I'm not very excited for it. Like, they haven't been able to really build the tension and the excitement for Tayshia coming in. When they brought Tayshia in, Tayshia looked like a deer in headlights for a lot of it. She looked like they managed to make her look overwhelmed. I don't think it was a good thing to tease like she's second fiddle in some way. They tease it as if, oh, do I feel like these guys want me? As if that type of role reversal took a little bit out of the air out of my sails a little bit. I wanted the guys to feel like they had another chance to love or bring in all new guys or something. But to have her out there and be like, yo, am I these guys' sloppy seconds? I didn't really, I was sad for her in that little time that they did that little thing.
I think that's what they wanted the viewers to feel, because you understood that she has no idea what she's walking into. Are these men going to like me? I'm the complete opposite from Claire in every single way. How do I even know that they're going to be into me? That was a real fear of hers. And I think that they wanted us to feel sorry for her and kind of left us hanging as to how they're going to respond to her. This is what I think is going to be interesting. You've never seen the show before. This is all you know of The Bachelor, Bachelorette. Sure. So you've been basing it off of what you saw go down with Claire and Dale. Tayshia's going to be a more traditional season. I think you're going, mark my words, you're going to long for the Claire and Dale drama.
Claire and Dale. You think I'm going to long for Claire and Dale to the Rescue Rangers?
No, not them. Not Chip and Dale. You're not going to, not that you want them, but that type of episode where you're like, what the hell is happening each week? We have no idea. I think you're going to long for the lack of structure versus the structure. Be interesting.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll tell you what I won't long for is completely disregarding the rules of the game, okay, and completely disrespecting guys like Yoda Riley, okay, Pointy Ears Riley.
I just realized you said Yoda Riley.
Boy Band Manager, Incel Blake, Fat Lyman Dude, who was great
Jason.
About it. Jason with Fat Lyman. Like he was. You ever see Little Giants? You Fat
yes.
Lyman, right?
Yes.
Like Fat Lyman. He was great about it. He was the best one about it. But I don't know, man.
Keep watching. This next episode, I think it is more of the format. So I will be interested in your take. But aren't you happy though? Now we can acknowledge Tayshia because we've been like rumor Tayshia. She's here now. Now it's her season. She's a woman of color. Let's see how they navigate this.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
So it is
interesting that it is interesting that Tayshia takes over in the same week that Donald Trump gets beat by black women. So it's good. I don't know, man. Tayshia gotta really bring it, man. Like,
what are you expecting from her? What are you expecting her to do?
I'm expecting her to shake it up a little bit, to really call these guys out, you know, round them up all in a row and say, hey, are you here for me? Or are you here to still be in the show? Because if not, you know, get off, you know. And obviously guys that are so hurt by what happened with Claire, they're not going to be there for Tayshia. Like Blake, incel Blake, they can, they should might as well get incel Blake off there. Actually, you know what? Don't get him off there. Keep incel Blake on the show as long as possible so we can keep an eye on him. We need to know where he's at.
At all times.
We need to know where he's at all times. Because he's a serial killer. They should make him, if they really want to protect people in Canada, in his community, they should make him the next Bachelor. So at least there'll be a block of time.
So some woman's going to be stuck with him?
No, but there'll be a block of time where we can investigate him and things that have gone on in his past without him being at home, because they'll have to do another bubble.
They do background checks, just FYI. But
no, we don't need a background check. We need a life check. Active. Not background. We need to, you know, anyway. But it was a good episode, but I'm you know, it's, and then Claire and Dale are coming back to the show. Why? I saw that. They teased that.
So normally you get a reunion. Well, why would we have a reunion for Claire's season? So it's Claire and Dale coming back to talk about what went down during their season.
So that night that he stayed over, they had sex that night.
I can't confirm, but it definitely looked like it. I would say yes.
And they hadn't had sex before. You don't think?
No.
If you had to bet $1 million on I'd whether
no.
or not
they've had sex, I'd say no.
Whether or not they had sex before then, you'd say no.
I'd say no. I would not bet $1 million that they had not communicated. I would not bet on that.
Before the show. So you think there's a good chance that they communicated before the show?
No, she tells me no. And that question is asked by Chris Harrison, which they also talk about. But I wouldn't bet on it.
Okay.
I love your fascinating. This was a fantasy suite. Okay. You haven't seen the traditional setup. Usually right. It's three men. They get the opportunity. They get a key from
it's
Chris
three
Harrison.
Three men and one woman?
You get them every other night over the span of a week.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Let me clarify. Oh,
that's not a fantasy suite. That's a Pornhub suite.
Three men.
Yeah. And one. Oh, three. It's three different times. It's not like she's in there with three dudes.
No. It's okay. Three men have the opportunity to have a fantasy suite. They separate a day. So it's every other day.
Every other day. So, okay, give her time to recover.
Yeah, they give you a week. It's a full week. Like a full week, the whole thing plays out.
Wait.
Fantasy suite.
The fantasy suite lasts a week?
No, like it's a week of. It's a fantasy suite day off. Fantasy suite day off. Fantasy suite rose ceremony.
And that's the final rose ceremony.
No, it gets down to the final two after that.
Just all of this shit, man. Okay. I'm here. I gotta be honest with you. I watched it and I'm not fucking with the Rescue Rangers and what they got going on, Chip and Dale.
Why are we calling them Chip and Dale?
They're Chip and Dale, the Rescue Rangers.
But why?
Because like, you know, number one, they go on adventures, dangerous
Dale.
Adventure.
Dale.
Yeah.
Chip
Hello.
And
Dale.
Chippin', I got you.
Rescue Rangers.
Chippin' Dale.
That's who they are. So that's who they are. The Rescue Rangers. Because when I would watch those cartoons back in the day.
I'm mad I asked.
When I would watch those cartoons back in the day, they always make it seem like the most important thing in the world is friendship. Right?
<I'll watch it. laughs> That's not a bad. It's not a bad message to put
you
out there.
Watch like you watch like the Care Bears,
my or like favorite,
the Rescue Rangers and something like that, and you never hear about the Care Bears talk about where they're gonna live, like what they eat. They never talk about paying a rent or nothing. Only fucking thing they talk about is friendship, right?
That's
it's
right.
All about friendship. I can do it all because I have friends. I can do all of this because I have friends. And Chip and Dale, the Rescue Rangers, are you my friend? We're friends. It's like they sell friendship.
And that's a bad thing.
Well, I'm just saying that's not real life.
They're kids. It's kids.
It's like in real life, you can't just be all about, it can't just be, oh, I feel great because even on Saved by the Bell.
So you wanted Chip and Dale. You wanted Dale to say to Chip, hey, it's the first of the month. Make sure you pay the rent.
That's like, they got to, wait a minute. Think about it. They got a plane. Chip and Dale got a plane.
Yes.
We got to make some money to fix the plane. Okay? We got to, like, you know what I'm saying? We got to get gas for the plane.
This is why 40-year-olds should not watch cartoons.
Oh, I'm just saying, like, we got to make some gas. But it's all this friendship and adventures. And that's how Claire and Dale act, Rescue Rangers. Forget about everything else that's going on.
And they're on an adventure now.
Forget about everything that's going on. Everybody else's feelings. And there's a whole show about this. Nothing matters more than our relationship. Nothing matters more about it. It's just not realistic. That's why they're the Rescue Rangers, Chip and Dale.
They're Chip talking chipmunks.
And Dale.
Why?
Chip
why?
And Dale.
What's realistic? They're talking animals.
We went to Disneyland, 91.
Okay.
91, we went to Disneyland, 1991. Two things happened. Number one, I got my ass whooped at Disneyland. That's the first thing. Okay, I'll tell you why. There's tell you why. Went to Disneyland, had a great day. I wanted to ride Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was trying to get wet. You don't even get that wet on Splash Mountain. Nobody was trying to get wet. I was trying to ride Splash Mountain. My family wouldn't ride Splash Mountain. I left the family and wandered around at 11 years old and wandered around and found Splash Mountain. And I was waiting in line for Splash Mountain. And I heard, Van! Van! And I didn't get out of line because I was too scared to go back and find my dad. And all of a sudden, I saw the line fucking parting. I saw the line parting. It was parting. And all I could see, the fucking cowboy hat, the top of his cowboy hat was like goddamn Jaws. Okay? It was like Jaws parting through the line. Parting. He came, he grabbed me by the back of my neck and he walked me out. And I thought I was going to get, I thought at least he'd wait until the parking lot.
How long did he wait?
We got outside of Splash Mountain. He was like, see, try to take you out to Disneyland. There's some nice shit for you. You disobey me. And all of a sudden, you heard these Disneyland employees who were not even about to challenge my fucking father. They weren't even about to challenge my father at all. Not even, you can look at them and tell, please don't do that in the park, sir. Please, sir. Please don't do that now. Whack. Whack, sir. Please don't do that in the park, sir. And so I'm crying. That's it. Okay, so Disneyland is over now.
Did he take off the belt or was he doing it with his hand?
He took off the belt.
Okay.
So Disneyland is over now. There's no more Disneyland. I didn't get hit that many times. Maybe like three times.
Okay.
So Disneyland is over. There's no more Disneyland. Disneyland is done. We are walking back. And as we're walking out now, we hadn't seen characters all day long, which was bullshit to me. Because when you go to Disneyland, they tell you that the characters are just supposed to be out chilling. Every time you see a commercial at Disneyland, you see me. And every time I go now, I see them.
Mm-hmm.
I see them just walking around the park. But we didn't see any that day. And I remember when we were leaving. My dad, who will whoop your ass and then be over it one moment after, right? My dad will whoop your ass. My dad, yeah. I will catch whoopings at home and I'll be sitting right there crying. And my dad will be like, hey, look at Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? And so, we're leaving, right? And as we're leaving, I'm crying. I'm doing the And my dad has still got his hand on me. He goes, oh, look, boy, there go some of the people right there. Look at him. Look at him, son. Boy, look at the goddamn people. And I look over there, and was it Mickey? Was it Minnie? Was it Daffy? Not Daffy. But was it Mickey? Was it Minnie? Was it Donald Duck?
Mm-hmm.
Was it any of the starters? Was it even fucking Goofy? You know who it was?
Who?
It was Chip and Dale. The motherfucking Rescue Rangers. You think I got my ass whooped and we drove all the way so that I could see Chip and Dale. The fucking Rescue Rangers at Disneyland? No fucking way.
Did you take a picture?
No. No, I didn't take a picture. I'm not taking a picture with the goddamn Rescue Rangers. Like, no, no way. You know what I'm saying? Like, you come out.
I didn't even know that they walked around Disney.
That's who it was. It was Chip and Dale. And so I have a special distaste in my heart for the Rescue Rangers. And now, same place Claire and Dale are. Okay. I hope they're in love, though. They seem very happy. So,
They do. All right. That being said.
Right. They seem very happy. All right. Listen, guys. So happy to have this national nightmare over. But it is not over. The work is just beginning. Two races in Georgia. We are going to hope to have Reverend Warnock and John Ossoff on this podcast in between the time that this runoff happens. We also want to check back in with somebody we haven't talked about, man. Our friend Jamie Harrison, who came up just short in his bid to take a Senate seat out there in South Carolina. We're planning to do those things. And, you know, now that the stress is off, get back to a little bit more of the bullshit. Have some fun. Talk about some culture a little bit more. Hopefully,
yeah.
We can steer this away from our fears and musings about President Trump, but we still got to keep our eyes on the White House because you never know what the guy is going to do. All right. That's it. Take your think caps off and do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan.
I'm Rachel Lindsay.
We are out.
When the protests started this summer, I decided not to join. The main reason was that I didn't want to be let down again. I've been here before. I've marched, I've yelled, and not much changed. But when I did finally go out there, I found some people and stories that got me thinking about this movement in a much different way. And I want to show you. My new podcast, Resistance, is out now. Follow and listen on Spotify.
It's Black Lives, baby!
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.